Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Our guests today are Carol Riggenbaugh and Matthew Martinez, the candidates running to represent the San Luis Valley in the Colorado Legislature, Colorado State House District 62. Welcome to you both. Welcome back to our studio.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for doing this again.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you both back. We're going to go through a few more issues with you. And I want to start with, since the last time we saw you, which was 2 weeks ago, what's been the activity of your campaign and what types of things have you done to get yourself known to the voters of this House district? We're going to start with Matthew.
Well, it's been a lot of road time, and it's a very large geographic district, so really, you know, being able to put out yard signs, doing meet and greets, you know, really just trying to get out to the people wherever they're at, both in Pueblo, Huerfano, in the San Luis Valley, and, you know, trying to be in about 50 million places at once, I think, is has been the MO for the last couple weeks.
Carol?
You know, I've put on 17,000 miles so far. And I started tracking it somewhat at the beginning. So it's probably a little over that. And then 75 hours of windshield time. So, yeah, like Matthew said, it's a large district. And, oh, being at the Pueblo Chamber of Commerce, the Latino Pueblo Chamber of Commerce on Friday, and then a homeschoolers group and the Fiesta event in Pueblo was really nice. And then the many different phone calls to the folks, and just lots of phone calls to folks, and then knocking on doors, actually meeting people. I've met some really amazing people in Pueblo, so it's been fun.
Thank you for that. What would you say the overall health of the House District is economically, emotionally, and how would you describe the future of this part of Colorado? Carol?
So, you know, House District 62 is very challenged. In fact, it surprises me that we've got such poverty in House District 62, in Pueblo particularly. And everybody knows that. When I first hit Pueblo, was trying to understand how the district had been redrawn. We got Bessemer, East Side, South Side. And it's very clear that it's the old town. It's old Pueblo. It's all the little homes that the old steelworkers used to live in. So I love it. It's absolutely magnificent. It's just perfect. And then the San Luis Valley, I mean, we all know the San Luis Valley. It's just magnificent. Then if you look at Gardner, Gardner's got some challenges as well. But they're working on it. Every part of the district is working on what can we do better. And so we do have challenges that we need. We need ways in and out of East Side. We need to protect Alamosa Water. We've got to give Gardner a way for people to have a reason to stay in Gardner instead of just blazing through. So there's a lot of really neat things that we can do for the district.
And Matthew?
You know, there are a lot of moving parts that have happened in the last 6 months, you know, particularly in Pueblo with the Evraz steel plant that's going up for sale. I know that's a concerning point for a lot of the steel workers up there in Pueblo. Couple that with the plan to close the Comanche power plant and reopen up a new plant. I know that's a huge concern. That's a lot of the union workers up there that is, you know, really where they're facing and want to find solutions to that. In the San Luis Valley, I think just, you know, the things that we've been dealing with, you know, making sure that we're protecting ourselves against the RWR proposal that's coming in. You know, trying to grow our economic development post-COVID, which has proven difficult as it has with every other economic recession that's happened. And, you know, trying to find that new thing that's going to really help us support our ag base and, you know, really getting people jobs. And, you know, I think right now we're in that great resignation period where people are trying to find what that new path is post-COVID and figuring out, you know, what do we want to do? And, you know, I think redefining that in the valley is going to be difficult, but, you know, I think it's obtainable.
Thank you. What two things have you learned about being a candidate for state office that you didn't realize when you launched your campaign? We're going to start with Matthew.
Two things is that there are a whole lot of organizations that have approached me, and they have said, you know, like, you know, they have a lot of different issues that I didn't realize were issues. And I think what I've learned with this is that it is almost impossible for one particular candidate to be an expert in all of these fields. Just because they're so overarching, you know, everybody has their own issue because legislation affects everything here in Colorado. And so, you know, one, you know, all the different organizations that are a part of this and have a stake in the game. And then two, realizing there are a lot of issues that you need to rely on the experts on those areas and being able to trust what they're saying and helping guide you through that process.
Thank you. Carol, what two things have you learned about being a candidate for the state office that you didn't realize when you launched your campaign?
You know, one of the things that I've done a lot in is studied the bills that have gone through the legislature and what bills were out there that were actually passed and what do they really mean? What will they do for us? And then the bills that actually were killed and what they could have done for us and how could we possibly try to get them through again? You know, and the other thing is the fantastic people. I'm just so amazed at the beautiful country that we have in Southern Colorado and the resilient people, the people that love God, their family, their country, and they're wanting to protect it. And they're wanting they believe, and I have faith in them too, that we're going to actually be able to move Colorado forward.
Thank you. You've both articulated how broad and vast House District 62 is and how far it stretches. What stands out to you and which counties specifically have you picked up on that have issues or concerns that you would try to address as state representative? Carol?
Well, we have 8 counties in the district, and each one of those counties, as you know, I've traveled and I've studied the agendas and the minutes of each county, the county commissioners, and the meetings that they have. And I, you know, when you look, it's really hard to pick one. It really is, because when you think about us 6 counties in San Luis Valley, we have got to protect our water. There's just no doubt about it. And when we have HR 7793, which is part of HR 5118, if you want to nerd out there, it's at the federal government. And when you look at HR 7793, there's a lot of us in the water world that we're very concerned about that and what that could mean with the federal government having any sort of say and control over our water. Then you look at, you know, Pueblo County. There's just so much opportunity. So much opportunity that we have on East Side and Bessemer and the South Side, that things that we can do to better those people's lives and make things safer for them.
Thank you. And Matthew, which counties specifically have you picked up on that have issues or concerns that you would try to address as the state representative?
Sure. So I'll start off with the northern part and then work my way down. But I guess with Pueblo, you know, there's a lot to be done there. And so with the East Side and Bessemer South, there's a lot of not just economic development, but more resources that need to be put into the community that they haven't been able to do so just due to lack of funding and resources. And so, you know, primarily in the East Side, they're in a food desert. They don't have a bank in that part of town. You know, and then obviously infrastructure, you know, that goes all the way across the district, you know, between roads, streets, broadband, you know, all of those. So I think that that's where there's a lot of similarities between all of the counties in the district with that is that we need to put more resources, more investment into this part of the state and being able to really do right by our citizens.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We're with House District 62 candidates Carol Riggenbaugh and Matthew Martinez.
You can support the work of AlamosaCitizen.com by becoming a member or by donating today. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. We are 100% San Luis Valley. Go to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit Become a Member or give anything that you can. We appreciate it.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to House District 62 candidates Matthew Martinez and Carol Riggenbaugh. We're going to continue our questions with them. Tell us about your legislative agenda. What would it be, if elected, to serve and represent the San Luis Valley in House District 62? Matthew?
Sure. So I have four main issues that I want to focus on if elected. The first one is being able to help our water rights owners fight the RWR proposal. Coupled with that, with water, is I want to make sure that we are setting aside funding for aging water infrastructure in Southern Colorado. From my time on Monte Vista City Council, I noticed that we had a lot of aging water infrastructure for pipelines, and that we didn't really have a whole lot of money to fix it. And I found out that a lot of the communities in Southern Colorado are facing the same thing. So I want to make sure that we can always deliver clean and safe drinking water to our citizens. The second one is I want to pass a rural Colorado economic incentive package using funding that's already there and set up through the Polis administration to going green, but really I want to set that up using grant funding and having those funds accessible through the county, the municipal governments, economic development groups. They can apply for those, and with an emphasis for green energy and union jobs, and being able to say, okay, you know, they apply for that, they can use that money in their own community to do what they feel is best. And that way, you know, if that's tearing down a building, if that's adding solar to something, to being able to help them out with costs, anything like that, to be able to do that. Next is I want to make sure that we're providing additional funding for our community health center networks and our local hospitals. I sit on the board of directors for Valleywide Health Systems, and I know that between them and the Pueblo Community Health Center Group, they are out in the community, they're helping people, they're trying to make sure that they don't get sick and making sure that they are healthy. And so being able to get them more funding so that they can do a more broad job with that, I think is great. And then my last but not least one is for our veterans. The VA right now is limiting veterans to 4 mental health visits per year. And other states do this, so where they have taken on responsibilities to help out our veterans. And that's something that I want to do here in Colorado, start a veterans mental health initiative here in Colorado and getting them the help they need.
Thank you. And Carol, tell us about your legislative agenda. What would it be if you're elected to serve the San Luis Valley and House District 62?
First of all, I'm going to sit on the Ag Committee. House District 62 has to have representation on the Ag Committee, and I can hang with those farmers and ranchers. I can keep up with them. Secondly, I want to support funding for a Tough on Drugs task force. We've got to do something about crime that is really affecting our streets, and a lot of it is so tied back into the drug situation. We have got to get tough on the drug dealers. They got to go. Secondly, also to combat crime, what about, you know, when I've walked Pueblo and I've been knocking on doors, I see so many folks, particularly our sentinels, our older adults, right? They're at home mowing their lawn. I've talked to a gentleman, he needs to sleep with his 45 on his pillow. So what about a neighborhood watch program? I've seen this already there where families, there are people who are at home and they're protecting other people's homes and property. So what about an incentive program, a tax incentive program, or even working with the insurance industry to for them to get a reduction on their property insurance? Third, there is an excess sales and use tax that's currently supporting the old age pension fund. And rather than those excessive funds going back to the state fund, let's keep that money for the older folks, older Coloradans who live on a shoestring. Older folks want to stay at home, and so let's make a win-win. The Medicaid program costs a lot of money. For one senior to be in a nursing home, it's about $10,000 per person. A lot of those folks, they're independent. If they just had a little bit of help at home, they could stay at home, which is a win-win for them and for all of us taxpayers in Colorado.
Thank you. Okay, so you've each heard from your opponents what their legislative agenda would be. What would you agree with and what would you take issue with when it comes to your opponent's legislative agenda? We'll start with Carol.
You know, I commend the veterans, what you're wanting to do for veterans. There's just so much more too, right? So there's the mental health situation with the only four visits. And then I have veterans that come to me with their teeth in one pocket and their hearing aids in another pocket, and it needs help, it needs work, right? They need those services, dental services and hearing aid services and vision. There's just so much that can be done. So, you know, as far as a rural economic incentive program, right now Colorado is at the highest inflation rate at 15.6%. We're about to go into January. We're going to be paying 51 cents extra, 51 cents extra a gallon for gas. There's just so many things that are really going to hurt us of what this legislation and Governor Polis has already done to us, that I don't even know how a rural incentive program will make a dent.
Thank you. And Matthew, what would you take an issue with, or what do you have agreement with when you think of Carol's legislative agenda?
I think that's the one thing that's been pretty consistent with us throughout this whole process is protecting the water here in the San Luis Valley. And I think that, you know, again, I go back to this, that's not really a partisan issue. That is just something that if you live here and you understand the issues that are in the valley, water is key. It's the lifeblood of this valley. And, you know, I think, you know, that approach that Carol is taking with that is something that I can agree with. I mean, that's something that we need to have done. We need to have representation on the ag board and making sure that the state is ensuring that we're not moving water around to Metro Air or whoever feels like they want to get their hands on our water. I mean, that's there. I guess I would say with some of the issues with the Neighborhood Watch program, you know, I think that those are great programs that are local level committed, but they're not necessarily ones for the state level to be able to do that, because if you do that through the state, then the state's going to regulate what's going on. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of cookie cutter legislation that's saying, oh, this is broad and overreaching for the entire state, and not necessarily tailored to each individual community or county, where those things can be decided, you know, if they are local level between the municipal governments, the county governments, to be able to make those decisions on their own.
Thank you. This next question has multiple parts to it, so we're going to make sure you hear it and we give you the options here. So we'll go slow with this one. Last legislative session, there were 657 bills that were introduced in the last legislative session, and it's hard to know enough about everything. We're going to start first with Matthew. What percentage of legislation do you think you would vote on that you have very limited understanding of?
Well, first, you have to vote on everything to making sure that it's there and making sure that real voice is represented. In order to make sure that you're properly understanding that legislation, you really have to make connections with those people that are introducing said legislation, you know, and making sure that, you know, having that conversation with them, what is the real reason? What is the real purpose of what's going on? Because you're right. I mean, having time to read everything line for line, you know, as the votes are coming up, I mean, you may get a bill introduced one day and you're voting on it the very next day. So really it's making those connections at the Capitol and saying, hey, you know, what's this legislation really meaning? What's the purpose of it? What's it doing? And then how is it affecting Southern Colorado? It is really what I would do to approach that situation to make sure that I have an understanding around that.
Thank you. And Carol, 657 bills were introduced last session. What percentage of legislation do you think you would vote on that you have very limited understanding of?
You know, I hope none. I hope I would be able to tap into some experts, and it's really being able to tap into those experts now and doing a lot of homework. I really value my vote, right? And I don't want to do something wrong. Now, am I personally going to be the expert on every piece of 657 pieces of legislation? No. But can I tap into and truly try to understand what does my yes mean and what does my no mean? And particularly, what will my people want me to do? I need to know exactly when I'm sitting in the House of Representatives, I'm representing House District 62 and all the people here that are in it, and I want to make sure that their voice is heard. So I need to know, how is a yes going to affect them, and how is a no going to affect them? And building those relationships now, which is really important, which I've been doing, and tapping into, okay, so who are going to be my go-tos that I need to be able to get to truly, truly, really understand the legislation in a quick and fast, easy way.
Here's the second part to that question. We'll start with Carol. When voting on that legislation that you don't know much about, what percentage or how would you rely on voting on that legislation based on how the party you represent wants you to vote? Or would you vote on legislation based on special interest lobbying on that legislation?
Neither. No, I'm going to vote on for what my people want. Now, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn from the lobbyists. There's some really good people there that are going to try it, that are there to educate us in all kinds of sort of areas and expertise. But I'm also going to really focus on representing the people of Southern Colorado, of House District 62. That's going to be my number one goal. It will not be to the Republican Party. No, I'm an independent cuss. I kind of go, I came from the people. I'm part of us in House District 62, and I will represent us.
And Matthew, when voting on legislation that you don't know much about, what percentage do you vote on according to how the party you represent wants you to vote, and vote on based on special interest lobbying and how they want you to vote?
So I think, you know, I'll echo what Carol said. You know, really, it's focusing on what is going to be beneficial for the people of the district, and focusing on that first, and really saying, how is this affecting Southern Colorado, and how is this going to put, you know, the people in a more positive or a negative situation. That being said, there are many organizations that do represent Southern Colorado that do lobby over in the Capitol, you know, between the union groups, like the Optometric Association, you know. So there is legislation that come there that do have representation from Southern Colorado. So I think listening to them and saying, okay, you know, how is this affecting them? Because one, they're constituents, but then two, they are experts in that field. So I think really relying on people that I have reached out to currently and that have currently endorsed me as well too, saying, hey, you know, really, how is this going to be beneficial and how is this going to be impactful?
Thank you. We're going to ask you about some propositions that are on the November ballot. These are yes or no and why. Proposition FF, healthy schools meals for all. This increases taxes paid by households with incomes of $300,000 or more, and it helps increases, if it gets through, wages and stipends for school nutrition workers. Health school meals for all. Matthew, a yes or a no and why?
Yes, I think, again, you know, that program is something that's extremely beneficial in making sure that we're not only increasing wages, but then we're also helping out our children and making sure that they have not only that they're fed when they go to school, but then they have a healthy meal with that as well. And that way they're not hungry at all when they're going through class.
Carol, Proposition FF, healthy school meals for all. Yes or no and why?
No. And the reason being is that, you know, there are people want to pay that are able to pay. The people that are able to pay need to be able to pay. And so those that can't, absolutely, they should have their meal covered at school.
Thank you. State Proposition 121, state income tax rate reduction. This would reduce the state income tax for individuals and corporations from 4.55% to 4.40% starting in 2022 tax year and future years. State income tax rate reduction. Carol, yes, no, and why?
I would say yes on that one. And again, when I look at the people of Colorado and the terrible situation we're in, where even people are moving out of Denver at a faster rate than we've ever seen, Colorado is really in trouble right now. And the inflation rate at 15.6% is certainly that's affecting Coloradans. And the fees and the taxes that are already going to be burdening the people. There's other ways to be able to generate the revenue that we need to do the jobs that we need to get done. And I trust the people that, and I believe that especially now, we need to give them an income tax reduction.
And Matthew, the state income tax rate reduction, Proposition 121, reduces 4.55 to 4.40. Yes, no, or maybe, or why?
I would say no. So after doing the research, really this only affects the top income bracket owners. So the top 1% save roughly about $1,000 a year on income tax, whereas your average person, which is the majority of the people in this district, would only save $63 a year based off of that. And when you can better use that funds to being able to put better support in there, I don't think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Proposition 123, dedicate revenue for affordable housing programs. Matthew, yes, no, and why on Proposition 123?
Yes. So we need to absolutely address the housing crisis that's going on in this district and in the state, and making sure that we are setting up affordable housing so that your average people every day that live here have the ability to not only purchase a house, but make sure that they're not having to go into extreme amounts of debt to do so.
And Carol, Proposition 123, dedicate revenue for affordable housing programs. Yes, no, and why?
No. What this does is it takes $300 million of Tabor tax refunds, and this is not a way to help our situation that we have with increased housing options. We need to lower the requirements, the building code requirements. Even tiny homes right now have extra building code requirements that have been put on them. And that has really been an option for in a lot of areas that to be able to help the housing crisis is to be able to build tiny homes, to build homes that people can actually afford. But now what we've got a bunch of legislation that is on the housing industry that we have to build and meet code to that's just increasing costs. So we shouldn't be going after the people's pockets and trying to help the housing crisis.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod. We're with House District 62 candidates Carol Riggenbaugh and Matthew Martinez.
You can support the work of AlamosaCitizen.com by becoming a member or by donating today. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. We are 100% San Luis Valley. Go to AlamosaCitizen.com and hit Become a Member or give anything that you can. We appreciate it.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Carol Riggenbaugh and Matthew Martinez. They're competing and running as candidates for House District 62. We have a last couple of questions for you this morning. Colorado has enjoyed relatively flush budget years, particularly with the infusion of federal COVID stimulus and healthier than expected state tax collections. With inflation costs and less federal COVID stimulus, what areas of the state budget would you support trimming, and what areas are untouchable for you? Carol?
You know what? That's going to take some homework for me. I would have to study the budget in depth because when I answer you, I want to know that I'm answering correctly. You know, there's some of the things that are completely untouchable for me would be the healthcare programs. We have to have healthy citizens. There's no doubt about that. When you look at our children's and our schools, we can't be messing around with our kids. We have got to get some common sense back in the school system again. And this chaos that the government has created with some crazy legislation, we've got to get some good old-fashioned, you know what, here we are in rural Colorado, good old-fashioned common sense that our grandparents would have used, right? And so as far as protecting those programs that really protect the people, and again, I look at my people. And that I represent my people, and it would be important for me as I review the budget, what's the most important thing to my people that they want me to do, and what would I cut, what is the least important to them.
Thank you. And Matthew, in the next legislative session, and you're thinking of the state budget, what areas would you support trimming and what areas are untouchable for you?
Sure. So I think areas that are untouchable, I'll start with that first, are ag, state employees. Right now, they're dealing with a massive struggle in trying to get step increases with the state, and their wages have been far below what the market value has been there, and we've seen a lower retention rate among state employees. We have many, many state employees throughout the district, particularly here in the Valley and in Pueblo, and we want to make sure that they're taken care of as well. I think with where I would trim, there has been a lot of legislation that has been passed that has been really urban focused. So you're seeing a lot of these projects, you know, with, you know, expanding I-25, you know, I-70, you know, putting more into, you know, the Denver, the Fort Collins areas. And really that's not affecting people here in the San Luis Valley and in Pueblo. So I think, you know, looking at legislation like that, you know, in conjunction with what the Joint Budget Commission is recommending, I think is it would be smart and being able to say, hey, look, you guys have a pretty decent tax revenue up in those urban areas. Maybe the state can better allot some of those monies or reduce those, and you guys are going to be just fine.
Thank you. Matthew, what are the issues or political beliefs that distinguish you over your opponent?
All right. So I think just its approach to some of these issues and being able to you know, properly advocate. So again, you know from my experience, you know, from working with veterans, helping them get reconnected into society when they first got out. So it was my first job out of college, and seeing the struggles that they went through, and again, lack of resources that were available to them. I've experienced that fight. I've fought that fight. Some things I have won and some things I haven't, and that was before I ever stepped into office. But, you know, also one big thing is with higher education as well, too, is, you know, I live this life every day. That's something that I've been a part of for almost 10 years, and seeing really how difficult it is to operate off of a shoestring budget for a long period of time. And really, what are we here for? We are here to serve the people and really be their advocate, be their voice in Denver, and making sure that legislation is passed that is going to benefit them. And, you know, so I think, you know, with my experiences, both, you know, from my Marine Corps experience helping veterans, you know, being in higher education, city council member in Monte Vista, you know, seeing those issues and how they affect people once they get down to this level is something that I think distinguishes Carol and I.
And Carol, what are the issues or political beliefs that distinguish you over your opponent?
I think one of them is that I don't believe money grows on trees. I know that the government does not create money, that the only way that they get money is from us taxpayers. And so I think it's really, really important that we don't put any more burden on hardworking, tax-paying, law-abiding citizens, that criminals need to answer for what they're doing. I'm not soft on crime. I'm hard on crime. I want to protect our neighborhoods. I want to protect the grandmas and the grandpas that are out there holding down the fort in their homes. And I don't believe throwing money at the problem is going to help at all. We've got to get tough on crime. We've got to get tough on particularly the drug dealers. There's no doubt about that, because they are dangerous. They're a complete menace to our to the fabric of our society. I don't have extreme leftist views, and I don't have to vote party line. I'm one of the worker bees that have come out. I'm a nursing home assisted living and home health administrator. Who's ever heard of someone like that running for office? I come at this with real working experience that I can hang in a boardroom with some high-powered folks and be able to try to understand before I can be understood. I've had lots of practice having to deal with people in high-powered positions. I can negotiate in high stress situations. So, I hope to bring that real life work experience that to represent the people to this position.
Thank you. We're going to move to closing statements from each of the candidates. Each candidate is given 60 seconds for their closing comments. We're going to start with Carol Riggenbaugh.
You know, Matt, one thing that I would ask you, and I've asked you this before, and you've heard me, and I just kind of alluded it to it right now. Would you be able to vote any different than what your colleagues voted, what Donald Valdez, who represented us last year or the last several years, would you be able to vote any different than what he voted? You know, especially when you look at decriminalizing crimes and drugs. And secondly, do you support the governor's $1,000 in cash per month for a year with no strings attached going to the homeless in Denver, in which, you know, we darn well know if he was to win, he would actually want to put that across the state?
Matthew, we'll let you respond, and then we'll give you 60 seconds for your closing statement.
So first, yes, absolutely. The party does not bind me by any stretch of the means to the votes that I take. If you actually look at Donald's voting record, there was numerous bills that he voted against the party and actually had many disagreements with his own party on legislation because he felt that they weren't going to benefit rural Colorado, and he caught flack for it. And in my situation, in my approach, that's something that I would do the same thing too. You know, the people in Denver and the people that are in these situations don't vote us into the office. The people that do vote us into office are the people of the district. And if that's going to benefit them the most, then yeah, absolutely. I will cross party lines and making sure that that happens. And if I catch flack, I catch flack. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I'm representing Southern Colorado and the issues that we have. And there are going to be disagreements with that. And that's okay. I'm willing to stand up. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I fought in the war, and I definitely know how to do that. And I can bring that to the table and make sure that I'm a good advocate for Southern Colorado.
And Matthew, any last closing comments? And then Carol.
Sure. So again, Matthew Martinez, I'm a seventh generation Colorado native. I was born to a single mother here in Mata Vista. I'm a Marine Corps Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. I hold a bachelor's degree from Adams State University and a master's from Southern New Hampshire University. So the four issues that I want to focus on are water, economic development, supporting our community health center network, and starting a veterans mental health program in the state of Colorado. So why am I running? So I've spent my entire life dedicated to public service, being the voice of the underserved, advocating and influencing change, and above all else, listening to the needs of the people. As your next state representative, I want to be your champion, your fighter, and above all else, your voice in Denver.
And Carol, we'll let you have the last word.
Well, I tell you what, so I am running for House of Representatives, and I want to represent the people. I'm so excited to do that and come at it with a fire in my belly. When I saw that there was nobody running, I actually saw that Robert Dimmick was running, and then, Matt, you hopped in the race a lot later. And so I did. I hopped in. I'm one of the people. I'm just a nursing home assistant living in a home care administrator that I actually started out as a certified nurse assistant. My mom was a hardworking mom, working several jobs. My grandparents were the best ever, and I learned so much from them. It's probably why I do what I do. Then in the 90s, my mom married Arnold Cordova, who was a postmaster in San Luis, and he was such a blessing to our family. My grandfather, Bill Morrison, was a Cherokee, and both my parents were Choctaw, my mother's parents. This Native American blood flowing through me, I think, is what gives me the fire in my belly to want to protect the people, protect our freedoms, and protect our country, protect our land that we have here in Colorado. And I think we all have that fire in our bellies right now to make things right at the Capitol. We need the chaos to stop, and we need legislators who are from the working class that truly represent the people, the government for the people, by the people, and of the people. And we legislation needs to be written, and I will so have so much fun doing this. Tough on Drugs Task Force, and then a neighborhood watch program, and doing something to protect our seniors with the old age pension fund where we can keep them in their homes as long as possible. And I want to thank you for this time that you've given us.
Thank you. Hey, we want to thank Matthew Martinez and Carol Riggenbaugh for joining us to discuss their candidacies and wish them both well on the campaign trail. You've been listening to the Valley Pod and our coverage of the 2022 midterm general election. The next guest will be District Attorney candidates Ann Kelly and Robert Willett. Until then, we'll see you around the Valley.